takes.
And you can't
push it.
Heartbreaking fashion.
You stay up.
Raise 10-0.
Listening to the Imaginary Radio Show.
Let's talk about Lee and Perrins. Two people, right?
I guess.
I don't know anything about them.
Neither do I.
I'm just going to guess that it's two people.
Yeah.
Okay.
They make Worcestershire sauce.
Worcestershire sauce.
Would you like to be known for just one thing?
Well, that's my point. What else do they make?
Nothing.
Maybe they do. I don't know.
Maybe they do, but you know what?
Look it up first before we brought it up on the radio show. They probably like, you know, make a million things and I don't know about it. But I just, one day I'm like, that's all they do. Like, that's what they make. Like,
whether they make more stuff or not, like, they're only known for that.
Hmm.
Like, do you want to just be known for one thing?
The story of Lee and Perrins' famous Worcestershire sauce begins in the early 1800s in the county of Worcestershire. Returning home from his travels in Bengal, Lord Sandys, a nobleman of the area, was eager to duplicate a recipe he'd acquired. On Lord Sandys' request, two chemists, John Lee and William Perrins, made up the first batch of the sauce. They didn't like the first test. They did it again. They left the jars in their cellar to gather dust. A few years later, they stumbled across them and decided to taste the contents again. What, are they crazy? To their delight, the aging process had turned into a delicious, savory sauce.
As I was saying, though, would you like to just be known for that? Like, that's it. Lee and Perrins, you think Worcestershire sauce.
Do you know how much money they make? Yeah. That's fine.
Yeah?
Yeah. Yeah, I wish I'd, you know, known for my Worcestershire sauce and curing cancer, but, you know, it is what it is.
None of us can say it. I don't even know how you're supposed to say it.
Worcestershire.
Just do a lot of
That's what I was doing.
Worcestershire.
Let's see.
Worcester and then Shire. Worcester.
But it doesn't look like it should be. Okay, wait.
Is that what you want to talk about? Like how they.
Oh.
No, I just. Yeah, how they. That's the only thing that they make. Like, I was ending up looking in the supermarket.
Aww.
And I'm like, Lee and Perrins. Like, the words Lee and Perrins mustard.
Right.
Okay, here we go.
Worcestershire.
I say Worcestershire.
Worcestershire.
Could be a sheer. Could be a sheer.
What about what other dynamic duos do you know of? Like
those cough drop guys.
Oh!
What guys?
Them. It starts with a P. Brothers.
Yeah.
P.
Brothers.
I don't think it's a P. It's an S.
Fisherman's friend.
No. It's P.
No, I think it's an S.
No, it's P.
What are you talking about?
Those.
The cough drop brothers. That starts with an S, not a P.
Cough drops.
Smith Brothers.
Yeah,
Smith Brothers. Why is it? Okay. Sorry for
the
P. No, it doesn't.
The P is silent. Okay.
Smith Brothers.
Why Smith was I Brothers. Thinking it was a P, though?
I've never heard of that.
No? Let me tell you something. Chrissy and I used to have to go to Sunday school. And I don't know why this was, but every Sunday we would go to Sunday school, and then my mom and dad would pick us up. And then on the way home, every single time, Chrissy and I would complain that we had sore throats and we had to stop at the pharmacy or the, you know, the store or whatever and get cough drops. And we did.
You're addicted to them as kids.
It was so weird. I don't know why we did that every single time.
I was addicted to that Vicks, like, nasal thing when I was a kid.
Vicks nasal thing?
Yeah.
It's like mean like the gel you stick up your nose or something?
Yeah. It's not gel, but it looks like a
suppository?
Yeah, pretty much. Basically. And you just sniff it. And I used to sniff that as a child.
Ugh.
No, it was good.
Ugh. What about the duos that failed? Like, and dropped one of them? Like, Sears and Roebuck. Like, what about Roebuck?
He's gone. He's,
gone.
He's the,
That's rare, right? Like, you know, you always hear about Lee and Perrin. Like, what if it was just Lee?
Wow. So, I'm on Google with the cough drop things, and... So
I like the Smith Brothers. Those were like this. They were soft.
Yeah, they were very little. They're like this big.
No, they were like...
Are you talking about Ludens?
No, that doesn't start with P either.
The two brothers, they were looking at each other on the cover.
Yeah.
Don't know it.
But they were oblong, but they were kind of chewy.
A little bit chewy.
And I didn't like that. Troche?
What?
I never heard it called a troche.
Where?
A throat lozenge, cough drop, a troche, or cough sheet. Do you have a troche, Bri? My throat hurts.
That's atrocious. No. So there you go. What are you looking at me like that for?
Who?
You.
Now I'm hearing beeping noises. I feel like I should raise my right hand. I just heard beeps.
Why should you raise your right hand if you hear beeps?
You ever had those hearing tests in school where like there's like a beep in your right ear, you gotta raise your hand and beep in the left ear, like you had to wear these big headset to test that.
You mean like the kind you still have?
Yeah, like the kind we stole.
Like 70s headphones.
Yeah.
Remember those tests they had when we were kids?
Yeah.
I guess they had it. I don't know if they do it anymore. They had teachers doing it. It was like my history teacher. Or the nurse who's, you know, come on. You know, I'm not saying it wasn't a real nurse, but, you know, it wasn't like a doctor.
They had scoliosis.
Yeah, we had scoliosis. We used to have, I guess it was, the very last vestiges of air raid drills. We used to have indoor fire drills, they were called.
Really?
Which didn't make any sense, because you're a kid, and you're like... So they would just do it when it was raining, because they didn't want the kids to know it was a bomb drill, you know.
Oh.
Now, you know, I'm not that old, but, you know, the mid-70s. And then we'd have indoor fire drill. As soon as the fire drill would go off, it's an indoor one this time, and we'd all go in the basement. We'd all try to fit the five classes in the basement. I remember doing that. Lining.
Whoa.
So you fit everybody in the basement. Like, oh, no, it's an indoor fire drill because it's raining outside.
You just made that cutoff, I guess, then, because I never heard of that.
I mean, it was really, you know, it wasn't like get under the desk and, you know, do whatever you did under the desk. I don't even know. You just get under the desk and pray or whatever, but... Yeah, I remember that. So it was the tail end of it. But they had it in the mid-60s, so obviously. You know, so it's only 10 years after. About 10 years since it happened in 2001. It doesn't seem like it's that long ago.
Right.
You know what I mean? So I could see, but it was, we didn't do it in high school. You know what I mean? It's not like I did it. I just, you know, it was the mid-70s. We all crammed into the basement.
That's interesting.
Get our scoliosis test.
I have scoliosis. Really, really slight.
Yeah.
And one of my legs is longer than the other.
Like by 6 inches?
No. By a little bit.
Oh. How do you even know that? Who measured that?
When we had the scoliosis tests in school, they said, yes, you have slight scoliosis, and I want you to go to a doctor and make sure that it's nothing worse than that. And I said, okay, and I went to the doctor, and he measured my legs, and...
Pulled my leg out. Stop it for some reason.
No, he measured my legs and said one of your legs is longer than the other. And I never knew until I went. I never knew I had a hole in my heart until I wanted to go out for track. And they said, no, you have a heart murmur and we want you to go to a cardiologist. I went to the cardiologist and he's like, oh yeah, you have a hole in your heart. Awesome.
Hmm.
Never knew. Haven't keeled over yet, so I guess I'm all right.
Well, that's good.
Remember when you were a kid with your first tape recorder and you just recorded yourself and your friends being stupid? Yeah, that's pretty much this show.
Well,
I have an update.
Oh, go ahead.
I have a Gammon Town update.
Another one.
Can you please roll the film?
Hold on a second. You gotta tell me when you have updates. You have an update, Brian?
I have a Gammon Town update.
Oh, Gammon Town. Go ahead.
Alright. How's that barbecue? And you know how sometimes at barbecues, thank you. Sometimes at barbecues, you talk to people you never met before. All right. So there's this lady, and she's talking about traveling and stuff like that, and then she starts talking about where she came from, like where she lives or where she grew up.
Mm-hmm.
And it was in Jersey City.
Oh, did you mention Gammon Town?
Well, here's the thing. So she's talking. She's like, oh, yeah, I sold my parents' house in Jersey City. She said, you know, I lived there for such a long time. My family lived there for a long time. Meanwhile, my eyes are getting bigger, and I'm getting ready. I'm like, nobody mentions Gammon Town outside of the family, Brian. Keep it down. You're going to look like a nut.
Nope.
So.
Spill it.
She goes on and on. She's talking about different sections of Jersey City, right? Then I said, well, how long did you live there? Because, you know, if she didn't live there that long, then maybe she wouldn't know. Maybe it would be her mother or dad or whatever. Oh, I lived there 37 years, and she looks like she's the age of my mom. And I'm like, you know what?
I'm going for it.
I'm going for gold here. I said, do you know where Gammontown is? And she looks at me like I have three heads.
This is a Gammontown thing that put her can out, huh?
It was at that point that I realized, you know what? I'm not mentioning Gammontown.
Ever again.
To any stranger except, like, well, our podcast listeners.
The mayor of Jersey City.
Yeah, like, no, she never heard of it. But she lived there, like, you know, 37 years. Her family lived there for, I don't know, a generation. So, listeners, don't ask anybody about Gammontown because it's like the secret society thing. Only certain people know. That's the end of the update.
Very good. Gammontown update.
And now for some music from the WAG. I never thought I'd find someone.
dug up some old band tapes. And just so you can prove to everybody that you're not a jerk at band practice.
Right, there were actual transcripts of
yes.
one of our practices.
So I went back to my old box of tapes, and I found another tape, and I transcribed that one. So this is another one of the WEG practices transcribed.
Oh, good.
And we're going to act it out. So here's your lines.
These are my lines. Oh, you did it just like how I did it.
Yes. All right, Brian, you start. I also play the narrator who has one line because Sherry's not here. So.
Oh. Greetings, everyone. Welcome to the Brian Ostering Quartet practice.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
Ditto.
Less talk, more practice.
Yes, sir.
Let's learn my new song. Brian, play a rock beat and I will jump in. Alicia, harmonize on the choruses and don't mess up.
Hey, go easy on her.
I can't read it like how you have it.
Read it.
Do not talk back to me.
I'll try my best, sir.
Good. Now that's what I call obedience.
Where's Dan?
He's running a little late tonight.
Can I play a blues beat on your new song, Brian?
Do not go against what I say.
You better do what he says. You remember what happened the last time.
I do remember, but I healed okay. No scars.
Shush. Did I say you could talk freely?
Narrator. The Brian Ostering Quartet plays Brian O's great new song.
Okay, practice is over. I have an acting class I have to attend.
It was a tough one.
They can't all be easy, Alicia, but we did our best. Now let's say our motto together.
Everyone.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Everyone. He reads the word everyone.
Well, you said narrator.
Yeah, because I'm also in the thing. Everyone. Our motto starts with everyone?
Maybe, I don't know.
Ready?
We came, we played, but most of all, we did what Brian O said. Yay!
Wonderful.
Thank you.
Please keep in touch with the show via email at imaginaryradio@optonline.net. And look us up on Facebook.
When I read that book that came out. I don't know what it is.
I don't know what
Dianetics,
it is, but I want to read it.
No, by L. Ron Hubbard?
No, not Dianetics.
You know what? I don't even know what the book is about. Like, I never read it. But I know it's by L. Ron Hubbard.
Well, yeah, because those commercials when you were a kid.
Yeah.
Dianetics by L. Ron Hubbard.
And it would like come out of the TV and Dianetics in the volcano. My dad had that book.
He had it? I think there was a Dianetics too, wasn't there? Like the
revenge. What the heck does Dianetics mean?
I don't know. It's some sort of religion, like it's
yeah, but Scientology.
Sort of, yeah.
But the word Dianetics, what does that mean?
I don't know.
It means we take your money.
But L. Ron Hubbard knows. You were going to tell us about a book you wanted to read about.
Oh, yeah.
Extraterrestrials.
Yeah. No, it was about extraterrestrials. It was about the people that they stole the moon rocks. And
what?
It was in a safe someplace. Like we brought material back from the moon, but uh-huh. It's very much protected just because we don't know, like, if there's a new element out there that's going to destroy the, like, you can't put it into general population. And the guy stole it. And
wow.
I think it's called Sex on the Moon.
What?
Because he took all the moon rocks that he had. He threw them on a bed and he had sex with somebody on the moon.
Oh my god!
But anyway, but he had the moon rocks and he got caught.
Wow.
But that's. Yeah.
I think there was somebody in Russia was given like a moon rock, like a present or something, and it ended up being a fake. I think it was like.
I read something about that.
Remember, there was a fake.
There was some sort of government like gifts of moon pieces or moon dust and stuff like that. You know, once they deemed it safe. To pass out, but
wow,
that'd be pretty cool.
Mm.
You gotta think that John Glenn, or not John Glenn, the other one, Neil Armstrong, just put a piece in his pocket. You gotta think he's got one. Like, I gotta take this home. He probably has a rock in his pocket like me. It is the moon rock.
Well, he would deserve it, though.
No.
Yeah, but the problem is, every year he's got to go back and get up.
Yeah.
Another one.
I go to a moon game. Guys.
What I do with this one?
Apollo 4 rock, please. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Imaginary Radio Show. To hear our music and to download more Imaginary Radio Show episodes,
please visit www.thewagband.com.